Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this evening's show, we're going to study musicology and celebrate the birthdays of Maceo Pinkard, Clyde Dewar, Gene Austin, and John Golden. Last week I played Biology by Lud Gluskin. Well, this week we're going to listen to some other ologies. Here's Django Reinhardt.
Thank you.
Earl Hines and his orchestra, with Earl doing double duty playing piano on Pianology from February 10, 1930. Before that, from February 4, 1927, it was Frank Trumbauer and his orchestra and a Paul Mertz arrangement of a Frank Trumbauer tune, Trumbology. Paul Mertz played piano in the band. We begin that ology set with Django Reinhardt and the quintet of the Hot Club of France in September of 1935, and Djangology. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, June 27th, marked the birth in 1897 in Bluefield, West Virginia, of composer, lyricist, music publisher, and musical producer Maceo Pinkard. He wrote his first major song, I'm Going Back Home, in 1914, a year after graduating from Bluefield Colored Institute, now Bluefield State College. He toured with his own orchestra, founded a theatrical agency in Omaha, Nebraska, and eventually formed his own music publishing company, Pinkard Publications. He wrote and produced the Broadway musical comedy Liza, which opened November 27, 1922 at Daly's 63rd Street Theater and ran for 172 performances. It was Pinkard who was responsible for Duke Ellington's introduction to Irving Mills of Mills Music, who would become Ellington's manager. Maceo Pinkard died in New York City on July 21, 1962. Throughout the 1920s, he wrote hits such as Gimme a Little Kiss, Will Ya? Huh? Sugar? Don't Be Like That? I'll Be a Friend with Pleasure? And these. Thank you. The Tennessee Happy Boys, a pseudonym for Harry Reeser on Edison and Sweet Georgia Brown from June 11, 1925. Maceo Pinkard wrote the tune, and that was an instrumental, but there are lyrics which were written by Kenneth Casey. Kenneth Casey was born January 10, 1899 in New York, and between 1909 and 1920, he appeared in 50 film shorts. The first, titled We Must Do Our Best, was also the first film appearance for Moe Howard, of the Three Stooges, credited as Harry Moses Horwitz. Before the Harlem Globetrotters theme song, it was the Five Birmingham Babies, a pseudonym on Pathé Actuel for the California Ramblers, and You're in the Wrong with the Right Baby. That was recorded April 14, 1925, again an instrumental with the music by Maceo Pinkard. Spencer Williams and Alex Beledna, who was really Edna Alexander, wrote the lyrics, which were sung by Eileen Stanley in her recording made a few months later for Victor on August 29th. We began our tribute to Maceo Pinkard with Lou Gold and his orchestra, and Here Comes the Showboat from a Harmony 78 Wax September 16th, 1927. Billy Rose wrote the lyrics to Here Comes the Showboat. Last week, June 24th, marked the birth in 1900 in Gainesville, Texas, of Lemuel Eugene Lucas. You know him better as crooner and composer Gene Austin, a name which came from his stepfather, Jim Austin, who was a blacksmith. He grew up in Louisiana, learned to play piano and guitar, and at age 15 left home and wound up joining a vaudeville company. He served in World War I in Mexico and France, returning to the U.S. in 1919 and settling in Baltimore, Maryland, where he intended to become a dentist. He began playing piano and singing in local clubs and teamed up with Roy Bergier in a vaudeville act, and in 1924 they composed the hit, How Come You Do Me Like You Do. Gene Austin composed more than 100 songs, including When My Sugar Walks Down the Street, The Lonesome Road, and Riding Around in the Rain, without ever learning to read or notate music. He began recording in 1923 and became a star in 1927 with My Blue Heaven, which was the all-time top seller, until it was edged out 15 years later by Bing Crosby's White Christmas. In 1935, Austin appeared in Klondike Annie, and he wrote the song I'm an Occidental Woman in an Oriental Mood for Love for the film's star, Mae West. He appeared in several other movie musicals in the 30s, most notably The Gift of Gab. He was vocalist on Joe Penner's radio show in the late 30s, and in the 40s ran his own club in California named Blue Heaven. Gene Austin died in Palm Springs of lung cancer on January 24, 1972. The last time we spotlighted Gene Austin, we played his recordings, so this time, here are some of his compositions sung by others.
Got that.
A great record. The Arcadians Dance Orchestra, directed by Bert Furman and Charleston Charlie, EY, written by Gene Austin, Emmett O'Hara, and Irving Mills. That's from a Zonophone 78 made February 9, 1926. Charleston Charlie was introduced in vaudeville and on record by Marion Harris in 1924. Gene Austin recorded Charleston Charlie accompanied by Jimmy McHugh on piano for Victor in August of 1924, but that recording wasn't released. It was also recorded as an instrumental by the Wilshire Dance Orchestra on the Sunset label in 1925. Before Charleston Charlie, it was Gene Rodemick and his orchestra recording for Brunswick in St. Louis on January 19, 1925, and the musical question, How Come You Do Me Like You Do? I believe that's the first time for that record on the show. There are lots of recordings of How Come You Do Me Like You Do, and I chose that one specifically for Gene Rodemick's great-grandson, Ray. Hope you enjoyed it, Ray. We started off our tribute to Gene Austin with a somewhat less than toe-tapping hot dance rendition of When My Sugar Walks Down the Street. That was Clara Smith and her jazz band recording for Columbia on September 25, 1925. Clara Smith was born around 1894 in South Carolina and by the late 1910s was appearing as a headliner at the Lyric Theater in New Orleans and on the TOBA vaudeville circuit, billed as the Queen of the Moaners. Between 1923 and 1932, she cut 122 sides for Columbia. In 1933, she moved to Detroit, Michigan, and worked in theaters until her death from heart disease on February 2, 1935. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL Avalon, 88.7 on your FM dial, or KISLAvalon.com on your internet dial. Available on demand anytime at all online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com and on iTunes as a podcast. Last week, June 27th, marked the birth in 1874 in New York City of composer, songwriter, author, stage actor, and producer John L. Golden. He grew up in Wazan, Ohio, but returned to New York at age 14. After a string of odd jobs, he attended New York University Law School and had a 13-year career with a chemical manufacturer before realizing his ambition to work in the theater. In 1916, he produced his first Broadway show, Turn to the Right, and with its success went on to produce about 150 others, in addition to working as a playwright and composer. He was a charter member of ASCAP and its first treasurer. He and his wife moved to Bayside, Queens, New York in 1920, and upon Golden's death on June 17, 1955, his estate became John Golden Park, which is enjoyed by many to this day. Golden is credited with founding the Stage Door Canteen and the Stage Relief Fund. His chief collaborator was Raymond Hubbell, and his popular song compositions include I'm Growing Fond of You, You Can't Play Every Instrument in the Band, and these. Thank you.
butterfly, 'neath the blossoms waiting. Poor butterfly, for she loved him so. The moments passed into hours, the hours passed into years, and as she smiled through her tears, she murmured low, the moon and I know that he'd be faithful. I'm sure he'll come to me by and by. But if he don't come back, then I never sigh or cry. I just must die. Oh, poor butterfly.
I was nearly broken-hearted to discover that my shoes were full of feet that had no sense of rhythm, couldn't do a blame thing with them but just walk around and try and find a seat. When I heard the music playing, my brain kept on saying, you must move like this, but one foot always late. I knew how I should do it, but I never could get through it because my mind and feet would not associate. But now I'm dancing grand, took lessons to beat the band. But there's one thing that I cannot understand. I can dance with everybody but my wife. We're out of step from start till we get through. The trouble is that she insists on leading me as she does in every other thing we do. I can foxtrot like a regular fox with others, so can she. But dance together, not on your life. It's one continuous wrangle. We don't tango, we just tangle. I can dance with everybody but my wife. When my wife finds some new wrinkle, like a turn, a dip, or twinkle, she wraps it up and brings it home to me. Shoves the table in the corner, and for hours I'm a goner, hopping around like an intoxicated flea. Please don't think I haven't tried to. I'd have laid me down and died to keep her satisfied, but it was not to be. We start in turkey trotting. She says one of us is rotten, and I got a slight suspicion it ain't me. We kicked welcome off the mat. We nearly squashed our cat. What Sherman said of war now fits our flat. I can dance with everybody but my wife. I must admit, it makes me awful sore. I think we'd get along if she wasn't quite so strong, but she pushes me completely off the floor. She thinks she'll take up skating, and I'm hoping that she does. An early fall might end my woman's strife. I love to get a bun. I'll go on skates with anyone, and I can dance with everybody but my wife. My wife has got a corn she's had, I think, since she was born, and it's the most persistent corn I ever saw. No matter where I tread, it always gets there just ahead, and when I step on it, you ought to hear a roar. She says the dancing used to be the way that she reduced herself, but still she don't look nothing like a pawn. I've even taken pains to ask my wife to put on chains, because I know that if she ever skids, I'm gone. Of her figure, she feels proud, and I mustn't say this loud, but I feel as though I'm dancing with a crowd. I can dance with everybody but my wife. There ain't no use around to beat the bush. She'll look at me and sneer, and she makes me feel so queer, I never know which foot it's time to push. She told a friend the other night, our quarrel won't last long. It's just a little temporary strife. I don't want to be contrary, but it's a long ways to temporary. I can dance with everybody but my wife. When a couple start in dancing, if you happen to be glancing, you will see before they move a half an inch. If her toe he merely grazes and she looks as mad as blazes, you can bet your life they're married, that's a cinch. If on the other hand he's shocking and he's stepping on her stocking and dancing so she ought to go to law, if she doesn't make a holler, you can bet your bottom dollar that he's walking on some other fella's squaw. She'll look up in his eyes and then she softly sighs. It's my fault, please don't apologize. He can walk on any woman but his wife. Tear her dress, she says, that's all right. But if her hubby dear was to whack one half a sphere, she'd sue him for divorce that very night. With others, I'm as graceful as a young gazette. But with her, it's just a struggle and a strife. I can dance as good as Castle, but with her, it's just a rattle. I can dance with everybody but my wife.
Joseph Cawthorn, born March 29, 1868 in New York, and I Can Dance With Everybody But My Wife. That Victor record was made March 9, 1916, and the orchestra was conducted by Harold Vickers. Cawthorn and John Golden wrote I Can Dance With Everybody But My Wife, and it was introduced by Cawthorn in the Broadway musical Sybil, which opened at the Liberty Theater on January 10, 1916, and ran for 168 performances. Joseph Cawthorn starred on Broadway for over two decades before moving to Hollywood in 1927 and appearing in more than 50 films, including Gold Diggers of 1935 and The Great Ziegfeld. He died on January 21, 1949. That was preceded by Golden's most popular song, Poor Butterfly, with the music by Raymond Hubbell. That was Harlan Lattimore with Isham Jones Orchestra recording for Brunswick in New York on May 16, 1932. We began our tribute to John Golden with Paul Whiteman and his orchestra and Humming from February 25, 1921. Ray Henderson and Louis Breau, B-R-E-A-U, composed Humming. I'm not sure if Golden had a hand in writing Humming, but that recording introduced Dear Me, which John Golden did write. Last week, June 24th, marked the birth in 1894 in Coldwater, Michigan, of saxophonist Clyde Duer. He began studying violin at age 8, but switched to the saxophone after being impressed by a sax player in a minstrel show sponsored by the local Elks Club. He attended King Conservatory in San Jose, California, receiving a Bachelor of Music degree, whereupon he settled in San Francisco. He was playing in a group at Tekau's Tavern, described as San Francisco's busiest and classiest high-class cafe, when he was heard by Art Hickman, who invited him to join the band in February of 1919. Duer and fellow musician Bert Ralton formed perhaps the first saxophone section in a dance band. Duer went to New York with Hickman and made records with the band until early 1921, when he contracted with the Columbia Graphophone Company to perform on every Columbia record of popular vocal or dance music. After years of a grueling schedule as a band leader and session man and doing radio work, he left New York briefly in 1934, but returned to teach saxophone and study chiropractic. He returned to California in 1943, where he worked for the Schlage-Lauck Company and as a precision grinding inspector and a real estate salesman. He died August 2, 1973. Here are three from Clyde Duer. Thank you.
blossom of Blueberry Lane. How I miss you, I saw your eyes brightly, so brightly beam, as we went roaming down through the gloaming. Although our love dreams are over, still in my heart you remain, the birds come in spring. But they'll never bring my blossom of Blueberry Lane. Thank you.
The quintessential 20s tune, Milton Eggers' Ain't She Sweet, performed there by Clyde Dewar and his orchestra on an Edison Diamond disc waxed March 31st, 1927. That was preceded by another Edison record, but this one an electrical needle-cut recording of Clyde Dewar and his orchestra, and Blueberry Lane from a little more than a year later on April 21st, 1928. Blueberry Lane was composed by Herman Paley, and the Alfred Bryan lyric was sung by an unidentified vocal duet. We began our tribute to Clyde Dewar with him directing the Club Royal Orchestra on November 2, 1921 on Dapper Dan. That was the band's first recording, and Dewar had gotten the job directing the band with help from Paul Whiteman. Unfortunately, the band's success ultimately caused a rift between Dewar and Whiteman. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.